This is your two-time FMFFL champ, luckiest league member, and illegitimate commissioner, Stuart Head, and you're listening to the Family Matters Fantasy Football Podcast.
And now, your Family Matters Fantasy Football Podcast, with your league commissioners, David, Jonathan, and Stuart!
What a way to start the show.
Oh my gosh,
amazing.
I did not know that was coming.
Amazing.
That was an imposter. That was not me.
Well, wait, that sounded like all of your credentials.
No.
Are you sure?
Oh my gosh.
Accurate.
Are you sure that wasn't you? Oh wait, we have a new voice in here.
Special guest.
I think it's
special
time
guest.
To play.
First and last time.
I think it's time to play his theme song. Welcome to the show, Mr. One Mike Staffel.
Yeah.
Would you like to explain why that is your theme song?
Okay, we're going to have to do that together because we had that conversation like when you came up with all the walk-up music for us. And when you told me, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then I was listening to the first podcast and I was like, wait, what was it again?
That was the...
Is that when I threw you
Titanic.
The mic's hard that sunk in the river?
No, that does fit, though. But it was
I was very confused with what you just said, by the way. Let's clarify. You were tossing him a drink?
Mike's harder lemonade.
Okay.
That definitely would have floated. But where that stems from is the YouTube video that... The two couples on the camel.
Yes.
And that was that was something that Mike showed me repeatly.
Yes.
So I greatly
assisted. That guy was stiff as a board on top of that camel.
Talk about a hard mic.
Was that guy's name Mike?
I don't
probably,
think it.
Yeah. Probably.
I mean, I don't know what he could really know.
I don't think he gave that as he was falling off the camel.
Well, he never actually fell. Let's be honest.
He did a great job of just hanging in there. And,
he was planking.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
But
well, we're without David tonight, but...
Oh, but listen to this. We got ourselves another guest.
What? Dave Matthews is on the air?
Deep tracks only?
Oh, that is one Ryan Jingle Jangle Stuart lost to Ryan. That's his screen name. Ryan, can you hear us? You are definitely muted. Be nice for you to come off mute. Join
there
the party.
There you go. Sorry.
There we go.
Sorry.
Jingle
Jangle.
You know what? Let's do that
jingle.
Again. All right. He's in. He's in the show. Ryan, welcome to the show. Did you have something to say to Stuart?
I had a lot to say. Jingle jangle, everybody. Jingle jangle.
Oh, you don't have any jingle jangle, bro.
Jingle jangle.
You got no jingle jangle.
Jingle jangle. That's the sound of Stuart's team falling flat on his face.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, I think I had the second highest score in the league.
Well, look,
but, yeah.
Here's the deal. We won't know if it was the real deal for a long time because you guys probably won't play each other for a while. Right.
Oh, I've already filed a formal complaint. This is the most ridiculous
thing. Run it back.
We got 12 teams in the league, and let's just put those two guys. Let's have them play each other 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, that seems like a good schedule.
Tweet at
that was
sleeper.
I don't know who that was.
It was Jonathan and David talking. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, because we're 1920s reporter guy.
It's funny that you say that. I have a weird feeling that. You're not going to want to play me later on this season. I have a weird feeling.
Are you in Kerrville,
I don't
Ryan?
Know why.
Did you take a trip to Kerrville?
I'm telling you, you're not going to like my team. Like, no.
Well,
I think you
he
took
doesn't
a,
really sound
yeah.
good.
I think you took it. I think you took it.
Yeah,
to
I was
Kerrville.
In Kerrville. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Oh,
can you hear
man.
Me?
Yeah.
So you don't want to play him later in the year, I think, or he doesn't want to play you later in the year. Is that what you're saying?
I will gladly. I just don't think Stuart's going to want to play my team later in the year.
I play you every night of the week.
Well, that's a little weird, but you should check your app. check your app and check your sleeper app and just let me know if you like that.
Unbelievable. Guys, hold your freaking horses. Wait.
Breaking news.
Yes, let me get to it. Trade alert. There is so much going on right now. Unbelievable that that just happened. Ryan, go ahead.
On the air.
You made the trade while on the air, so go ahead. Break it down for us.
Well, Joey, thank you for coming in. You can leave now. Joey and I just completed that trade. Joey made a great offer, and, you know, he made some good points about he needs to be competitive this year. And obviously I drafted the best and, had the deepest team to make the moves without hurting my chances. So, you know.
Well, go ahead and say it on air right now. You're not getting Chubba Hubbard. I'll tell you that right now. Especially since I'm playing you this week. Maybe I'll give him to you after I beat you with him when he scores like 80 points.
It really is that easy to get you into a water bet. Stuart, I water bet that he's not going to score 80 points.
Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I know he won't score 80, but I could easily see 50. Man.
Unreal.
Did you know this trade was going down?
I had no idea. Mike just... He caught me off guard with that. I thought someone was sending some kind of emergency text in our family. And no, this is just about fantasy.
Close.
I mean, this is the Family Matters Fantasy Football League, so it's everyone's family.
Family does matter.
Man, Ryan, wow. I didn't think you were coming on the show with that news. That's really good timing, I guess. Did you know this was brewing for a while, or did this happen in the last 20 minutes?
No, just this afternoon, Joey and I were kind of going back and forth. And
interesting.
It really didn't take that long to develop. He's, you know, obviously I put Chris Carson on the trading block earlier this week. And I did want to turn Chris Carson into a super flex, I guess, if you will, kind of pair him and Michael Thomas into somebody, you know, an RB1 or a wide receiver one if I could. And, you know, it just kind of came to fruition. So.
The number one running back. That's pretty good.
Wait, did you trade Michael Thomas?
We're going to have to grade this trade later.
He offered Michael Thomas, but Joey would rather.
Yeah, Joey didn't. Joey
Tyson.
And all it took was a third round pick, too. So I don't know.
I
also offered Joey a conditional.
Hold on. Wait 1 second. We got another guest joining the show.
This is the best show ever.
Joey.
Yo, is it working?
What is happening here? You are on the show. We are live. It is, you've
apparently broken... nobody else shares video here.
It's Saturday night.
You've broken... the podcast with this trade. We were mid-show, getting started with Ryan. What happened here? So you're done with CMC, huh?
Wait, what did Sleeper do? Oh, crap.
Unbelievable.
Sleeper's in Kerrville right now. Something happened.
Yeah, are you in Kerrville? So what's going on here? You're done with CMC, huh?
I'm in an awkward position here. And I know it's a family show, but
don't worry, we've made some not family references already at the beginning of this podcast, so let it fly.
I'll be honest, when people are losing their ACLs all over the place, you've got to start getting creative and start making moves and
start getting real.
You got to look at yourself in the mirror. And you got to just start having an honest conversation. And I know I'm good enough. I know you can do this. Oh, wait. Yeah. So effectively.
Did Marie talk you up before you came on? You are good enough, Joey. I believe in you.
No, this was an old, that was an old SNL.
You was kind.
I think it was an SNL
special.
Reference there.
Yeah,
you're special. Stuart Small. Yeah, there you go. For the older crowd. But anyways.
I'm with this dump. We got no food.
No.
We got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Yeah. That's what's going on right now.
CMC for Tyson Williams. It's pretty good. Tyson Williams had 2.7 last week. So
hey.
I guess that's more than CMC.
Listen, he's having buyer's remorse with J.K. Dobbins, and he just wants that backfield. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
Hey,
that makes sense.
For better or worse,
Wait, how many points did he score? Is that more than Robbie Anderson? Your starting wide receiver?
Oh, I love having everyone on the podcast. Oh, this is great.
Oh, who else is on? I hear Mike in the back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. We got Mike. We got Stuart.
Mike's hey, just person. Remember, I got rid of Barkley at the right time, right?
That's right. That's right.
Right?
I
have a theory I will share
just
with you.
Just remember,
group.
I got rid of Tyson Williams at the right time.
Hey, he's a starting running back right now, and he's in a lineup.
Let's see.
I got a question for Joey.
He's in a lineup.
Running backs are rough.
We got a question for Joey. Go ahead, Mike.
Hit me.
Joey, did you test the waters elsewhere in the league for the trade market for McCaffrey, or had you already been talking to anyone else? Or this came up and it felt right and you just went with it?
This was the closest thing that felt right, unfortunately.
So you had other talks with different folks?
Yeah.
Of the folks that just asked the question and said, is McCaffrey available? I couldn't find anything that made sense. Now, I'll back up. I am 100% in. Let it be noted on the podcast. I am trying to win this year. I am not fire selling my team in week three. So
is that a shot at Ryan?
Started from the bottom.
I didn't say who fire sells around here or not. So if you're going to call out people, that's your own opinion.
Yeah, I call
your own
out.
Opinion. But right. I am 100%, 110% trying to win this year. And so folks who asked about Christian McCaffrey, I couldn't find something that helped both teams, that made sense, that would be a productive conversation.
Don't worry about the other team. You worry about your team.
Joey, can I bring up the conditional pick that I made you? Okay. Because
Before you do that, I fully believe this is – I am not sliding Ryan in this at all. I like Ryan's getting CMC on the cheap, to be honest.
Sure.
I
think we all
But he runs the
glad,
risk.
Glad to hear you acknowledge.
Go on.
That.
But
he runs the risk, right? It's the gamble of is CMC going to have the year he had last year again?
Yes. Will he be the number 1 or number 2?
Right.
Running back
will he be knocked okay. will he be knocked
okay.
back down?
Go ahead,
I don't
Ryan.
Know. It's too determined. But go for
or
it,
will
Ryan.
Chuba Hubbard be the starting running back
I know.
Going
are we,
forward?
Are we going to have Mike Davis 2.0?
Yes, we will.
We'll see. Ryan, the floor is yours.
All right. So what I thought was fair was making the condition the pick coming back to Joey conditional. And was it 10 games, Joey, that I threw out?
Yeah,
Nine?
It was 10 games that if he played 10 games.
If he plays 10 games this year, CMC, then the pick is a number 2 pick in 2023. And if he plays less than 10 games, it's a third round pick for this year, which is what Joey ultimately decided to do. I don't know why you didn't decide to do the conditional pick.
I told you why.
Yeah, but you went with there was no downside.
But he didn't believe you.
You went
Tell
with
him
the
again.
Downside. You went with the downside, though.
What I want, I'll explain it to the league since you didn't understand. What I wanted to do was have a pick that was clear and understanding of what I had so that I could still maneuver and negotiate with that. When you start to add the layers of like, okay, you can possibly have my second or third pick trading to, I don't know, I'll pick Jonathan. If I'm trading to him and now I'm like, okay, which one are you really getting here? Now we got to take all that into consideration. And then to the degree he will jump on that and or potentially trade that off, that's what I wanted to avoid because I want to win this year. If I was going to sit on the pick, if I had no intention of trying to leverage the pick, hint, 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 if I have no intention of trying to leverage the pick, I would have gladly done that.
I'm listening.
And I thought that was totally fair. So
we'll continue our trade talks off air. I'll tell you that.
Hey, I just chose your name because it's up here on the left on the
screen.
Well,
let me say this. I didn't even share what our private conversation was, and I won't until we suss it out a little bit. But
well, Joey and I have been having private conversations too.
There you go.
Let it also be noted when I hear all the talks from David.
Noted.
Like, oh,
noted.
some of these guys aren't trading around here. There's a lot of talks going on. And I know there are others who are maybe not on the call right now that also know that I've talked to you. Maybe we haven't come to an agreement yet, but I do make trades, and I do make big name trades too. So let it be written in the books.
I make big name trades. Did y'all not see the trade I made with Daniel the other day?
Amazing. Amazing. Well, guys, we've got a show to do, so we're going to kick you out of here. Any final words?
Adios. I don't know how this goes. Bye.
All right. See, I didn't even have to kick them out. They know how this works. Wow. What do you guys – have you had time to process what just happened?
I mean, I was interested a little bit in McCaffrey, but I'm also of the mindset that he went from not being hurt ever – to he had three or four different injuries last year, and now he's two games in and he's got another injury in his third game. I think he may be injury prone going forward.
I think it's fair. Hamstrings are not something that goes away quickly, which is why I'm concerned about AJ Brown, to be fair. But my only critique of the trade would be thinking about it from the terms of CMC's a no doubt about it keeper, unless it's a career ending injury. Is Chris Carson that kind of a guy? Because he's the best player that Joey got back.
He's borderline.
I feel like he could have got a definite keeper out of the deal. Agreed. Whether, you know, and I don't know if, again, to Joe, I wasn't in the conversations Joey was having, so maybe he wasn't finding the most out of it. But I think long term, he definitely sacrificed long term for. I don't even know. I mean, if Christian McCaffrey plays this year, then he lost that bet.
Well, they kept him off IR. Trade. You know that.
Right.
They feel like there's a chance.
Yeah, I think that hamstrings are one of those that it could be a couple things. One, it could be he comes back later. Like, they could keep him off for 3 weeks, run him out there, and then kind of have him on a week-to-week basis. Or they could limit his pitch count, which I don't know if they're going to do that, though. They haven't shown that they do that yet with him. So.
Are you worried about it being like a Dalvin Cook thing where it's just – it's not necessarily like a traumatic injury, but it lingers and he misses?
Yes.
Like, it's like he'll play two games and he'll miss a game and then
– Yeah, especially when it's in season like this. If it was something in training camp where he could rest for 3 weeks and not do anything, it's different. But when it's just hard to recover, especially if he's not going to go on the IR – I think it could be that it's not as serious. That is an option. But to Stewart's point, we saw this last year. If this was last year, I think this is the really dumb trade.
Yeah.
The fact that we saw this last year, Joey lived it, and it crippled his team. And he still had, I mean, he still got Lamar Jackson. He's got Darren Waller. He's got some good players. He's got Cooper Kupp. So in fairness, he's got a good – yeah, he's
and
got
Chris
a –
Carson's – I mean
– Chris Carson's good.
He's good.
I would have taken Chris Carson over Josh Jacobs. I said that before if I didn't have DK Metcalf. So I actually like Chris Carson. But it, again, comparing – when you look at the trade in a vacuum, it's like, man, could you have gotten more for McCaffrey? I think we all say yes, but, again, who knows what the deals were.
Well, it definitely clears things up quite a bit for me hearing him say he's – going to try and make moves for this year, because I was saying if I was in his shoes, I think I would probably punt on the year after losing Dobbins. And, you know, Kupp was a huge hit in the draft, but he had some others that didn't pan out so great.
Yeah.
So my thought is CMC is a guy that two first round picks is not completely crazy to think about. I mean, somebody that's in love with the guy might be willing to do that. And so then to go, okay, you got Carson in a third, basically, which is, it's not terrible, but it's just like, to me, I would say, okay, I'm going to possibly spend like crazy to put myself in position this year. Cause there's a lot of parity this year, which I guess in one sense could be incentive to compete, but it's also after doing this for 10 years in this league, you just don't know.
Yeah. And it's funny. We'll get to the power rankings here in a bit, but obviously our power rankings are in. I don't know if we're not going to be able to change them before we get to it.
Someone
but,
might have had.
Yeah, we.
I didn't know that. I didn't know about that trade.
We.
Oh, you did. Yeah.
Well, okay. So I'm not going to totally put him on blast, but you know, Ryan was peacocking all over the podcast in here, And yep. One of the calls as he was having those negotiations came in and was like, man, I just don't know. And I was like, you don't know if you want to do Chris Carson in the third round pick for Christian McCaffrey? I was like,
well, Tyson Williams too.
Yes, that
can't forget about that guy.
Oh, the old Tyson chicken.
Man,
nothing
Ryan
like him.
Palomo is the full-time hype man for Tyson Williams this year. Man, I still got Tyson Williams.
You got to sell. Hey, you got to sell what you got.
Always be close.
Well, I guess we've got quite a bit on our show, Doc, and one of them was discussing the Christian McCaffrey injury, which I think we did, but I see next to it, Chubba Chubba, and yeah, my cat is making this is what happens
come
every
on,
podcast.
Cat. Come on,
and he won't stop. But Chubba Chubba, how do you feel about this now? Now you have a new potential trade partner.
Yeah,
in Chubba Chubba.
Maybe I'll go after McCaffrey.
Maybe you go after McCaffrey. Things have really evolved in the last 10 to 15 minutes. It's insane.
I'll tell you, I'm not interested in trading Chubba to Ryan this week.
Yeah, we fully covered. I thought that was going to be the highlight of that call.
Yeah.
Because you guys are playing each other again in back-to-back weeks, which is a weird scheduling quirk because David and I set this back in Vegas and I think
well,
it's
that explains
one.
A lot.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
We're all a
little
of,
toasty
of sound mind.
Yeah. You actually don't look ahead in your schedule. You just play Ryan every week going forward. It's just you
well,
and Ryan.
That's bad for him, not for me.
Oh man. Well, I see another interesting blast from the past here on our show, Doc. Josh Gordon is back in the NFL.
Man,
and he's going to the Chiefs.
I know. I'm surprised you didn't go for him.
So I talked to the big man downstairs.
That's not how that saying goes.
Well, yeah, I was talking to the devil, and
welcome to hotel hell. Checkout time. Never.
How much is this gonna cost me,
Josh Gordon?
Old senior there. For those of you who don't know, I'm living with senior, and I'm living upstairs. He was just squawking about Josh Gordon. Now he was gonna bet the bank and. After seeing him bid for Leighton Vander Esch, I didn't feel like I could compete in that market. So I said, I'll just let him pick him up because I knew $2, $3 wasn't going to work. And I also didn't think I'd ever really play him, but he's an extreme wild card. If he comes in and Mahomes throws it to him, it would be amazing. I just don't think he's going to get targets.
Well, and it's interesting that Senior was – the one to go for him when he already has Tyreek. Like, do you really see a situation? I mean, I know they're one of the offenses where you could potentially do that and it
right.
pan out
right.
if it happened to be that week, but
yeah, I don't see him starting.
To me,
it
feels like, I guess if it's defensive by him, then I definitely think it's, you know, makes sense. But if you're,
unless Tyreek was on a bye and then he could play.
So dumb.
Oh my gosh.
If, okay. How about this scenario? What would you have paid? What would you have bid if you found out that Tyreek was injured rest of the year?
Oh, yeah.
And you found out Josh Gordon, same situation, he's joining the team. What do you think you would have bid on him? Because I think $10 won. What do you think the high bid would be?
Probably in the 30s.
The 30s?
I was going to say at least 20.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
what's the highest one so far? Was it you? I couldn't remember.
37.
I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt that you're being genuine.
I am being genuine. I remember it being you, and it was for Hollywood Brown. It's all coming back to me now. How are you feeling about
it? He was a couple of drop touchdowns away from being probably the number four receiver on the season.
Redemption. Oh, I didn't see the game. Were you actually watching it?
How did he do? Did he? I mean, I really don't know.
No, he finished with, I think, right around 8 points.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I heard a couple of people review like he had two drop touchdown passes.
I only watched
one was
it on
tipped.
The highlights. One, yeah, the first time you see it full speed, you're like, how did he miss it? But then you see that the defender literally like
grazed
when
it
was it. A foot from his hands, it totally changed the trajectory and the spin of it. So
yeah.
He didn't really have a chance at that one, or at least as good as it looked the first time. Only one. Was like a clear, if he caught it, he's walking in, you know?
So there was another, he had, well,
there was one more where he
It was early on in the game,
yeah,
right?
And as he, it went off his fingertips, but as soon as he missed, the defender had like wrapped his legs. So if he catches it in stride, maybe he steps out of that, but it's impossible to know.
Yeah. No, I heard some other podcast basically
left,
say
he definitely left.
It almost turned into the yips of like, oh my gosh, he dropped another one. And he's so talented. It's just frustrating because that offense doesn't go through the air. It's all through Lamar, and it's almost reverse. It's more run heavy, and then you'll get these big chunk passing plays. But we were being serious. Like, owning Hollywood Brown is the most infuriating thing. You're like, when he gets a big play, it's amazing. And if he doesn't, you hate him. Like, you can't play him. But he's a good player. He just needs the targets.
There were some good games this last week in the NFL.
Yeesh.
I think a lot of us were watching the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I believe I made a prediction on the podcast last week that Dak Prescott was going to have a showing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I was supported by my fellow podcasters. I think it was met with doubt and probably 20 years of Cowboy football cynicism. But let me say this. First off, Cowboys offense, legit. The defense is what they need it to be, which is average.
Yeah.
With takeaways. That's all they need.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Eagles are as good as maybe people thought they might be going into the game. But the fact that you curb stomped them like that.
Yeah.
That like sent a message that this is the Cowboys division, hands down.
And the offense sputtered a lot in the first half. I mean, it felt like if they had not had
that touchdown that didn't get called, that was a touchdown. Dak scored a touchdown. That was unbelievable. The one where he went over the goal line. Like, that was someone that I heard in another podcast, like, why don't they put a chip in the ball that like there's like some kind of sensor that shows that it goes over the goal line?
Yeah.
You know they have that technology. Yeah. Just do it.
There's something like that with tennis where there's you can actually see exactly where the ball lands.
But it's camera based to an extent, and there's not 20 or 20 people over
that's
the line
challenge
that they're trying to, because that's so they triangulate it, I believe.
But they default to that on replays, right? They that's their way of
for tennis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now a lot of the tournaments have gone to that. Some of them do it no matter what.
No matter
like
what.
You don't even have to challenge.
Doesn't matter what the judge says.
If it's even close, they'll just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Or you could just have a glowing football
and turn all the lights off
in
the stadium.
And then have like this beam of light that is on the end zone. Speaking of the end zone, there were some shots made at me for the...
You don't know where the end zone is?
No, for the 109-yard field goal
okay,
return.
I missed that. What happened? What was the 109-yard...
Oh, you didn't see?
No, I didn't see it. What
it was
happened?
A kick six.
Yeah, the Cardinals kicked attempting a 68-yard... field goal.
Was it Matt Prater? Is that who
Let me stop you right there. If you're attempting a 68-yarder and your name's not Justin Tucker, you deserve to get a touchdown scored on you the other way.
Well, to be fair, because I was thinking
it's
the same
the arrogance
thing.
Of Kingsbury is really what it is.
Well, on the highlights, they said that prior to Justin Tucker's kick, the Cardinals kicker had the record.
I think
it's
Matt
Prater. Yeah, has like a 64.
Wasn't
I think
it in Denver,
it.
Though? Like I'm pretty sure
Elam and Prater and all those guys were in
because it's
in
the
for
thin
sure.
air up there, but yeah.
So it
Tucker
was short.
Doinked it through, big deal.
It was short. It was short, by
a yard. I was gonna let you guess that
the field goal. The field
how
goal.
How short was he? If it was a 109-yard touchdown,
how many yards do you have left?
So, and it was that Fox. The Fox reporter that screams every time that anything good happens.
Oh, Michael Irvin.
No.
Gus Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was Gus Johnson who was calling the game. Anyway, so I don't remember who it was. Someone for the Jacksonville runs it back 109 yards, which I'm like, let's just talk about this for a second.
Okay.
Why don't we just call it 100 yards? Either that. Or let's call it 119
yards.
That's
wrong.
Let's have him run all the way to the other end of the end zone.
That's bad math.
You have to run to the locker room.
Wouldn't you say from end zone to end zone.
That's 100
the back,
yards.
The back of the end zone.
That's 120 yards.
120 yards.
Yes.
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 But listen, for him to score, he had to run the 9 yards out of the end zone. To score
you
on
can't...
the other side, he just has to break the front
Correct.
Of the line, which is 109 yards away from where he caught
And you
it.
Can't physically do 110.
Oh, I get
because
that.
You'd have to be out of bounds when you
Sean
catch
Elliott,
the ball.
Sean Elliott, Memorial Day Miracle.
Yes, what if he caught it?
109 and three quarters.
What if he caught it? What if he was turned around and caught it and it was out of bounds and he was standing on the...
It would be 111.
So he balanced
111. And but I just want to say, he runs all the way through the end zone on the other side. Let's just call it a 120-yard touchdown.
When do you stop counting his run? When he's sitting down on the bench?
Well, he's still on the field
he
of
did
play.
He did a pretty sophisticated celebration dance. Let's count all those yards up, too.
I'm going to call it 119. That's what I'm
going
to call
it. If we count all of it, Johnny Manziel would have had even more
yeah.
yards. And
yeah,
goals.
Right?
Did we I do like that when they show how those
he
guys
ran,
are running around.
He ran 80 yards to gain 7.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Do you feel vindicated?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You're
119
wrong.
Yard return. That was pretty awesome. I wrote up here on the show doc.
Mm-hmm.
Rams. What are your thoughts?
Best team in NFL? Question mark. Best team ever. Wow.
Take heed.
I was joking about best team ever.
Yeah. No.
But...
I just wanted to read it because I thought it was clever. They just beat
the Bucks handily, and I thought the Bucks were probably the best team. So
here's how I feel about the Rams. Their roster is fully healthy. Mm-hmm. I do think they're the best team. If they suffer an injury from one of their key players, and you could say that about anybody, minus the quarterback. Like, pretend it's not the quarterback getting hurt. But if Aaron Donald got hurt, if
Jalen
Ramsey got hurt, I think they're a lot thinner. I think the talent level from that person, that superstar, to the next guy they got is not anywhere near what they put out on the field with the starters. So they're thin. I think the Bucks are deeper. But obviously we just saw them play each other and the Rams beat them. So,
if you're Rams fans, you're glad to see them doing well. They continually mortgage their future to compete in the now.
Dude.
And I mean, if you get, say they go win the Super Bowl this year, then I mean, a lot of people would say it's worth it. But it's like every big free agent guy that it's not even free agent. Every big acquisition they get is a trade where they give away another
first round
pick.
Do they have a first rounder in the next like 3 or 4 years? It feels like they don't. David knows that better than
they're
I do.
They're doing like the Bill O'Brien, but actually getting good people,
right?
Instead of like
Laramie Tunsil,
DeAndre Hopkins,
yeah,
from David Johnson, fantastic,
yeah. That was
David Johnson was really good though.
Hey, Todd Gurley and David Johnson were the best keepers in America for about 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and then they both died.
And now looking back, the best keeper was Mike Williams. Holy cow!
What do you think of him,
man?
So there's two guys I want to talk about. Well, no, we don't need to talk about Mike Williams, but Dak Prescott. Can we admit that he's worth the payday he got? Can we admit that yet? I feel like I was on an island. Maybe I'm still out there. And let me put this out there. I do agree, and I think we all agree on this point. The Cowboys painted themselves in a corner, and that was stupid. I don't think they were smart with Zeke, and they have too much invested in their offense, including Zeke. But if you're going to overpay for somebody like Dak, I think it's worth it, and I think he's proving them right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm with you. I agree.
I think when the original number, which who knows what the actual conversations were, but it was like 35 a year, and people were like, no way. You can't give that to him.
I think what he wanted, like, what is it? Was it the year before or 2 years before was 34, and
mm-hmm.
that's when at the time that was crazy.
Right.
And people were like, you should do that now.
That was the conversation.
Now, who knows whether he – that might have been posturing by the agent, though, because that's Aaron Donald's agent who did the exact
right.
same thing that Dak did, which is like, we're betting on you. Or if
right.
you want to bet on yourself, let's do it. And we think you're going to perform, and they're going to pay. Or if they won't, someone will. Because I remember reading that, and this, you know, so maybe the Cowboys
right.
did it wrong, or maybe Dak was never going to take it until he had him at his max leverage.
Yeah, no, you're right. The agents, I can't imagine those conversations. It's got to be the most frustrating things. You're not really dealing with the players. You're dealing with the agents. and they just care about squeezing every last dime
out of it. Did you see TJ Watt earlier this year? Did you read about that?
Didn't he like his agent, right? Like
got I don't know if he fired him, but basically
he said, I'm not going to let him get in the way of the
deal.
Yeah,
the agent was trying to still like stonewall, and he goes, this is, I've gotten enough.
This is more
like,
than
I got
enough
of what I wanted, and he went in and signed, and
that's going to play well in Pittsburgh, too.
The Watt family, they're just like the kings of...
I don't care. I'll play for free. No, I think that doesn't happen as often. I think that was a more rare circumstance. I think Dak would have, to your point, let the agent just say, nope, we're going to top of the market.
Yeah, so the only other thing, just talking Cowboys, I was going to say, you mentioned before about the defense being average, and it is, and I don't think it has, like, elite potential, but Lawrence is out. Donovan Wilson, which I'm a little biased towards because he's an Aggie, but strong safety. He was a big turnover guy and big hit guy last year, and he's only I don't even know if he played game one. So, and they've got others. What, at least another one or two guys that are out.
To be clear, and I don't think you were saying this, but my thought is they're statistically average with upside.
Right.
And I think that's what you like. That's not what you've seen the past few years. You're like,
for sure,
especially last year, historically bad.
I don't know why Nolan was ever hired. That was the
He's didn't,
never been good anywhere.
And it didn't even sound like it was going well in like preseason. They were like, nobody knows where they're supposed to be on defense. That should be like step one. This is where you're at on the field.
Yeah.
And then they flip it to Dan Quinn, and I love his scheme of like big corners and go get the ball, and it just
I just wish. Like, make Kellen Moore head coach, pay Dan Quinn whatever he wants. I don't feel like – maybe I'm totally wrong, but I don't feel like Mike McCarthy has a lot to do
he's
with
really
success.
At,
right?
He's really good at clock management.
Gosh. Happened again this last week.
Did I send that out on there?
Yeah, no, you said it to me, I think.
Okay.
But I'll let you say that, but I did hear –
that one was bad.
I know. I did hear something on the ticket that said one of the callers called in and said McCarthy – doesn't know what to do with a clock that's counting down because he thinks it's a microwave and his food's almost ready. So he just wants to let it run. He doesn't want to stop it.
That's pretty well. Someone did, I don't know if I sent it to somebody, but there it was a tweet and it said another reason why Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT, or saying Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT.
Oh, you put
he
that
had
on
to overcome
sleeper.
A decade of
mismanagement.
Like, it's unreal how these guys get tied to success, and a lot of it's never just in a vacuum. The guy, like, you never know how good Jimmy Johnson would have been without Emmitt and Troy and Michael Irvin.
Yeah,
although he had you could confidently say he built that team, so that's one thing. But you know, they're all tied at the hip, so it's just funny how people get the credit for things, and it's not that simple.
I know we need to move on, but I was curious in regards to the Rams. How much better do you think the Rams are
because of Stafford?
100
times better. And I don't think Goff is horrible. I just think Stafford is more mature and a way better decision maker. I don't think Goff's there yet, and I think Stafford has a more complete game and can make all the throws. I think Goff's still learning. And so McVay's like, give me a quarterback that can open up my playbook and watch what we can do.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot. I think they're a lot better with
Stafford. I think Goff is like probably, if we're honest, league average as a quarterback, but he had the stats because he was in McVay's system.
Sure.
But now you take Stafford, who a lot of people have said for years is probably a top, in his best years, and he's just in Detroit with garbage teams.
Right.
But he's talent-wise, top 10.
Yeah.
And earlier in his career when he still had, Megatron and some guys, I think he was considered top 5. So we're really getting to see what he can do with a solid roster all around.
And the Rams don't really have much of a running game either. I mean, they've got Henderson.
Henderson's been decent, but I think that's what – I think we saw a strong running game because of Goff, and I think they made that offense go through the play action.
It was a lot of screens, slip screens and things when Gurley was there.
And it's what Goff could do. Yeah. And I think now that Stafford can stretch the field, it's like, well, we'll run. It's almost like the Chiefs. We'll run when we need to, but we don't need to run.
Yeah.
And Henderson and Clyde Edwards remind me a lot of each other in that regard.
And you got the Broncos, they're still 3-0. Who else is 3-0?
The Raiders.
Oh, the Raiders, yeah.
Can you believe that? Their ending was kind of crazy. They went to overtime and all the way down the last seconds of overtime for the win.
Wasn't that with the Dolphins?
The Dolphins, yep.
Which, yeah.
The Dolphins. I thought the Dolphins
were better. Well, Carolina's 3-0, who Dallas plays this week.
Yeesh.
That, they are...
So I play in a, it's not a pick'em league. It's kind of this escalator where each game you parlay, it becomes worth more. But if you miss one, you don't get any credit. Anyway, one of the games that I'm picking or that I was thinking about picking was the Cowboys over the Panthers. But I can't pull that trigger. I think Matt Rhule's a really, really good coach. I think the Cowboys are better. I'm just nervous that it's like a trap game and that the Cowboys could – it's a perfect game for the Cowboys to lose.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Well, looking at – I won't spend much time on it, but looking at Carolina's three games so far, it's like they – what is it? They beat the Jets
and the Texans. Yeah.
But then they beat the Saints like a drum, and then the Saints are – you're like, what are they? Are they – pretty good, yeah. Or do they...
1 week on, 1 week off.
I think divisional games are interesting because I think teams build their teams to play each other. Like, the Chargers clearly went out and got Coach Staley to coach against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because, like, that defense is perfect against the Chiefs. And the Cowboys handled them. It was a close game, but the Cowboys played better than the Chiefs did against them, so...
Right.
Yeah, I just think divisional games are... crazy, which was what makes the Cowboys over the Eagles so much more impressive. It's like they just smashed them. So, all right, well, let's talk about some of the guys who didn't perform this week.
Bonehead benching of the week.
We've got a few nominees. Surprise, surprise, one of these guys was just traded a few minutes ago, which I don't know what value he added, but I guess he is, quote-unquote, a starting running back.
Joey wants to be a bonehead.
And, yeah, Joey's already on this list. Can he get nominated twice? I guess you could. But we'll start with Tyson Williams. 2.7 points. That is not very impressive. Just a few catches can get you out of 2.7. So, Tyson Williams, 2.7, and looky here, we've got a keeper on the bench in week three.
That was so surprising to me. I understand his frustration, but...
You don't...
You still... I mean, not for Tyson Williams. You don't... Or Tyson.
You don't get cute with your studs, especially when... I don't think Zeke's looked bad. I think they had... a bad draw with the Bucks, and they purposefully did not run him. I do think it is concerning from Ryan's perspective that Tony Pollard's look so good. Yeah. I think that's a valid concern, but if you're going to do that, play Tony Pollard.
Right.
Do not play Tyson Williams. So I just disagree with that completely. Now, Zeke just went ham against the Eagles, which makes it look even worse, but not a good look. Not a good look.
It didn't really matter. He still won his matchup. Okay, let's move on.
And he also put out a poll asking, and everyone was like,
"Yeah, don't
not
do
sure
that.
If serious." And then he did it anyway. Well,
I sure voted for Tyson Williams.
Oh, he got the last laugh. Okay, let's move into the next one.
Got CMC, don't care.
Yeah, right? Right? I'll take a bonehead benching if I get the best running back in fantasy next week. Joey. Guess what? You had a bonehead potential trade, and now you got a bonehead. Man, Jalen Waddle, really? Okay, Rondale Moore.
I wasn't saying the trade was bonehead. I was saying he could get bonehead again because he now has Tyson Williams.
You were making gestures off air. I could see it. Rondale Moore of the Arizona Cardinals posting a whopping 1.5.
It's singular. It's Cardinal.
Cardinal. He's playing for Stanford. No wonder he didn't do well. Jalen Waddle of the Miami Dolphins throwing up an 11.8. I will admit, so he's had Waddle on his team for a bit, and I think he just picked up Rondale Moore. I don't know if he was going for a home run hit there or not, but just I don't like any of his bench players, so ugh.
Yeah, Rondale Moore had 26.9 last week.
Yeah, he was chasing the dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't completely blame him, but he would have won his matchup. But I could have also picked, he was playing against you, Mike. and he had Mike. You had Duncan Hines. Duncan Hines was. I love how you named all your players too. That's really, I need to go do that. You had Duncan Hines on your bench with 17 points, which and Brandon Ayuk. I think these are his first points of the year.
Yeah.
Oh no, they weren't.
Let's give you some room to talk about Ayuk because I think a lot of people dogged you, including myself. On the IU pick?
Myself.
Okay. How do you feel about this now, though?
Could not feel worse.
You still feel bad about
it? Could not feel worse. Well, today, what was really great, I was feeling better until I saw that Cooper Kupp went in the fourth round, and I took Brandon Ayuk.
There was a lot of receivers taken before Kupp.
And, okay, so I think you and I had the conversation about the Bucs receivers, because Godwin was the other one I looked at. Now that they are clicking and look great, of course you feel stupid for having that concern, but before the season started.
Don't get choked up. You'll be okay. Oh no.
Let me take over for him. So what
COVID.
He was saying
it's
is
COVID. I was worried that you just never know who's going to hit on that offense. Like, is Evans going to have one big week? And then Antonio Brown was another concern because he started coming on into last season, and I go, is he going to bump one of those guys from one of those top two spots? So I just didn't know how to feel. There was a lot of buzz about Ayuk maybe taking that next step. I didn't really love him there. I would have much rather got him, like, late third. But based on who I was looking at there,
you know,
I was
how
like,
I had you pegged for was DJ Moore. I thought you were going to go back to that well, and – he's
I
playing.
I
know.
There's a lot of wells.
I know.
I wish I had
pretty much any substandard wide receiver would have done just fine.
If the bottom of the well is remotely damp, it's better than what I found in the IU well.
I think
it has not been good.
In every mock, I had you taking DJ Moore in that round, and I was like, "Ooh, Ayuk." I wasn't expecting that.
So yeah, I mean, DJ is one of those guys that's kind of like CEH, right? He's got loads of potential. He's
touchdowns.
Yeah, I know. Or he'll have 80 yards at halftime, and he finishes with 84.
I know. So frustrating.
It's infuriating.
Wait, you mentioned Evans. I know we're on boneheads, but I made a big trade for Evans and Thielen.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So
how you feeling about that?
Yeah, you traded those two
for Cooper. I gave up Cooper. Amari.
Yeah,
I
thought that was a good trade for you.
Yeah. Well, I.
And here's why.
I didn't even talk with Daniel about it. He just sent it to me, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Done. Like, it was super. We didn't even go back and forth. We didn't even talk. He just sent it to me, and I accepted.
I mean, I think Cooper's on the best offense, but I also think, like, his ribs are fractured or something. There's, like, something wrong with him.
Yeah. Well, he got hurt at the end of the game last week, but he played, I think, most of the snaps.
He played, but he didn't do anything.
No, he didn't
in a
do
game
anything.
Where they scored 41 points, which is concerning. Yeah. So you got to feel pretty good about that trade, huh?
Yeah, and Thielen scored another
Nicely
touchdown. I know
done.
Thielen is touchdown dependent, but he keeps scoring touchdowns. So I'm like, well, maybe he'll score a touchdown every week.
Well, it's funny, right, when we're talking fantasy, because you kind of talk unrealistically at times where you're like, well, that guy's touchdown dependent, whatever. And it's like, well, nope. I mean, there's like,
girl, isn't everyone
kind
of,
there's one or two guys at each position that are like likely to put up stud numbers every week. And the rest of them, even the really good ones, kind of like a Carson or somebody like that, that you're like, yeah, that guy's a bona fide starter, but he might have 8 or he might have 22. You don't know. So I thought it was great for you. I think I was maybe talking to Ryan, and I said, man, I kind of gave Daniel some grief for not being a reasonable trade partner early in the year. And I was like, I feel like he's overcorrected. Yeah.
He's
up the farm for Kamara. He was like,
wheeling
you know
and
what?
Dealing, baby.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of where I landed was I just thought I really like Cooper, but I'm getting two quality wide receivers at a position that I felt pretty weak at.
Needed
and so
depth.
I'm like, that gave me two decent for, I mean, you could argue Cooper's in the same category as those two guys right now. So
For sure. It's a good trade.
Okay.
All right, moving on. We got a couple more boneheads to go through. So Bryce, Mr. Bryce, just drafting players I hate, started Damian Harris, who he acquired from Daniel.
Wow.
So again, in a trade.
Wow. That's probably why he started him, because he felt like he needed to.
2.7. Woof. Not great. And his
what about that stud running back that he was sad that he didn't
so keep? Yeah, he made a big deal about, oh, I wish I would have known Travis Etienne was hurt because then I would have counted James Robinson. And then he drafted James Robinson as soon as he could, and then he benched him in week three. So what's going on here, Bryce?
Yeah.
What's the deal? You're...
Maybe Preston made that call.
Oh, is that, okay. See, Bryce has an automatic out. Yeah. No, Preston told me to do it. Yeah, James Robinson.
23.9.
I don't
get a good outing.
You know, we talked right before we jumped on the podcast. The Patriots' offense is not good. Yeah. So starting the running back for them is a risky play because, yeah, you might get volume, but as a running back, you probably aren't going to get valuable volume.
It feels like Damian Harris will be a great play against bad opponents.
Yeah,
where they're in the game, and yeah, well, Belichick's gonna want to keep them in it by playing keep away, you know, and running the ball
because 100%.
He's got a rookie quarterback. But if they're playing a good team and they fall behind, they're gonna put James White in.
Yeah,
and throw most of the game.
Well, I think White actually is out for the season.
Fair point.
It will be someone else. It won't be just all Damian Harris. So
yeah.
Moving on.
Four touchdowns is what the Patriots have had all season. Four.
Ooh.
That's the second worst in the league, just behind the Jets.
That is 1.333333333 per game.
So, no. I was going to say, did Dak have four touchdowns last game? I think he only had three, but regardless. We'll move on to our final bonehead and more than likely our Moo Moo Milk winner. That would be one Mike Searles starting...
The Kenyan.
The fast Kenyan Drake over Kareem Hunt. You got cute here, Pops. You got cute. Kenyan Drake, we found out that he's not the actual handcuff to Josh Jacobs. It's Peyton Barber, and who would have thought that? So don't blame you for that. But what I do blame you for is benching Kareem Hunt, who I think everyone would say is at least an RB2, probably high-end RB2. With that Browns offense, you don't bench him. It's just like Zeke. You just don't do it unless he's injured. And because of that, I think we have to give you this award.
Ooh, ooh. Chocolate Moo Moo Milk, winner of the week.
With that one start of Kenyan Drake over Kareem Hunt, difference of about 18 points, would have won him the matchup.
He would have won. Who was he playing?
He was playing
I've got it
Lewis
here.
I think.
Oh, yes. That's right. Yep. Which was, Lewis is still undefeated and my father is still winless. So
yeah,
there would only be one undefeated team if he would have done that. Mike,
who wow. could that be?
Mike, wow. You should be upset about
who
this.
Who could that be?
Well, Dad, go into HEB, grab yourself a milk, and douse yourself.
And let out a big moo.
Next time you're driving, he actually does drive out to Kerrville a lot. Yeah.
Next time you're in Kerrville.
You go to Kerrville way too much, Dad. I have a lot of questions.
He liked or laughed at the comment about it, and we happened to be at their house later that evening, and I was like, so were you listening? And he's like, no, I just saw Kerrville, and I was like, oh, that's cool.
Well...
I was like, well, you need to listen to it.
Don't
so you can
start listening. Yeah, and trade me Kelsey. You get the offer's out there.
Just understand when the league says, are you in Kerrville, that's not a good thing. I just want you to know that. All right. Let's move this along. This is going to be a 3-hour podcast. Let's move into the power rankings.
Power rankings.
I'm just looking. I really hadn't even looked at that, but like where Bryce is on ours, and where Bryce is on David / Mike's. That's really funny. Okay, so
this has got to be the most chaotic power rankings we've ever had, it's not Mike's fault. So obviously, David's not here tonight. He's enjoying some Dude Perfect with his sons.
Dude Perfect.
Dude. So Mike is gracious enough to step in and co-host, and we said, you know what? You just go ahead and be proxy for David and go ahead and do your power rankings, your picks of the week, and we'll just put that in, and we'll update the master spreadsheet because David forgot to send it over, which is fine. And
sorry, Bryce.
Wow, we are so. I told the guys here, I usually just work off my previous week's power rankings unless something crazy's happened, and that's my little cheat sheet. And I got to see Mike's process live.
That's right.
As he just scrolled through Sleeper and said, "Yeah, maybe." Yeah.
New.
And then it's like, wait, I forgot about that
team.
Oh
no!
Where do I put them?
New level of respect for you guys, I must say.
Well, to
I
be,
tried
again,
to do some prep, and Jack called me out while he was reading before bedtime.
Jack, you should be in bed if you're listening to the. Oh wait, it's not.
He's
live.
Like, I saw the football game open on your phone. Are you going to do that, or are you going to listen to me?
Let's read a story about how I am undefeated. All right.
Brandon Ayuk's stat line, son. Will you take a look?
Can you see Ayuk?
If I see grades like this, you don't want to know.
Well,
let's
talk
just get
about
to the cumulative number one. How about that?
Let's go ahead and give room for number one. That would be one Stuart Head.
Yeah, it's my first time at the top.
I've got him ranked lowest at 4. Mike has him at 2. And guess who's got number one at number one? Old Stewie.
So, and I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
I went and looked through the all of the teams.
I'm going to discount everything else you've ever said till now.
A fair evaluation of each team. And I'm like, not being a homer. No, just kidding. That was a Simpson reference. I had a Simpson reference last week with Sideshow Bob. Okay. I just felt like I really do have a great team. And I don't know that there's anyone that's better than me. And I know that that sounds like I'm patting myself on the back, but
yeah,
it's true.
No,
when
it
it's
is.
True, the truth hurts.
If no one else will pat you on the back, sometimes you have to pat yourself
yes.
on the back.
Yes.
The interesting thing
and
about
and if no
my
one
back,
else will let you be on top, sometimes you have to put yourself.
The funny thing about my back is it's located on. Oh, that's a super bad reference. If you'd like to look that the rest of that quote up.
So anyway, you have me at number 4. Thanks.
Yeah.
Who did
well,
you have ahead of me? You have
well, just can we just go yeah. through the cumulative order first?
Sure.
So
sure.
Number 2, there's a tie, and we've again, it's all over the place.
One of these things is not like the other.
We've got Ryan and Bryce, tied at 2, and let's just see. There are 2 number ones, a number 2, a 6, a 4, and a 10 in there between the two of them. So let's break this down. I've got Ryan at 6, and I've got Bryce at 1.
Yeah.
Stuart has Ryan at 4 and Bryce at 2, a little closer together.
Yeah.
And here comes Mike, just Kool-Aid man,
just
busting through the door. Ryan at 1, Bryce at 10.
I did know Ryan was getting CMC, so
boom.
Wow.
That's fair. And Ryan had a good showing, and he was the top scorer on the week, so it's not unfair to say he could be at the top.
If you're a believer in Najee, I mean, he's got a – I mean, his team's
– Well, if you get 19 targets in a game as a running back, it's hard to argue.
Wow.
I don't think that'll be a trend, but
– I think it's more of why do you hate Bryce?
Yeah, what's going on with Bryce here?
I don't know. What do y'all see in his team?
I love this because I feel like I've had to defend why I don't like Bryce's team, and I feel like I've been pressured into ranking him higher, so I'm actually leaning more towards Mike's – I am close – well,
Damian
no,
Harris, we just talked about why Damian might just totally
– Yeah. I think the reason I like Bryce's team is because I scored 167 points and he beat me. So that's why.
Yeah,
so
he's
is it
had
Saquon. I mean, Debo and Ridley are to me that's his two best guys arguably.
And I don't like Ridley. And I don't like Ridley because I don't like the Falcons and I don't like
that's
the
fair.
Offense. So
he's 25. He's wide receiver 25 on the year, so
I
he's
know.
Not lighting it up.
I know, and
he's no Brandon Ayuk.
I've got him number 1 because I feel like I've been wrong on a lot of his guys, and I feel like again, I feel like I've been pressured into ranking him higher. But
just,
I really
you just owed it to him.
Yeah,
this was a patting him
hey,
on the back.
Fun fact, Bryce, this will be the highest I ever rank you on the
yes.
whole season.
Hold on, but let's.
You'll
so,
never get higher than that.
You will not get higher than 1.
Okay, I hear y'all saying like maybe you're undervaluing his guys, but he's the 3rd leading scorer in his own division.
Okay. Did he have? How did he do last week?
Wow.
Because if last week was
I mean, granted, Division 3, he's in the strongest division.
Sure.
Based on this season so far, so that's a little misleading because
But I feel like last week was his by far his worst week. And then before that, he had two really strong weeks.
When he had Kamara?
This is true. I didn't factor that in.
So, yeah.
He had Saquon 2 weeks ago. He traded Kamara after week one.
Is that right?
Yeah. But, fair point. Like, I do think Kamara is the better
player.
Well,
see, week two, he scored almost 139, which is, like,
no,
probably
but
right
it's
about
not,
where you need to be to win.
It's
but
not
it's
200,
not like
he, huh, Stu?
Score 208 and then talk to me.
Hey, you're talking to two other guys that have scored 200 points. He's got the record over there.
Yeah, but that was like back in 1985.
Duh, Bears.
Yeah, he had the Bears defense.
Singletary was my ID.
That's
flex.
Back when fantasy was huge back in the 80s.
Doing the Super Bowl shuffle. Oh, that's so topical. Okay, let's move it along here.
Yes, yes.
We've got another tie, a three-way tie. I think I did this right in Excel.
Yeah.
But
how are all these ties?
They were all like 4.5.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway,
okay.
So we got Stafford, Jackson, and Senior three way, and I got Stafford at 3. I've got Jackson at 8
because
I just curb stomped him so hard.
Wow,
I just felt so good.
And Mike and I both have Jackson at 3.
Yes, you guys had Jackson at 3, so I am submarining his team, his ranking here.
And then you're another outlier with Senior. You have Senior at 2. I don't even think he scored 130 points this week. He didn't.
He's got Josh Gordon.
I thought you guys took time on these. I did my last
minute,
did. But
he did score 130 points. He won.
He's been good.
Oh wait, no, he did win.
He lost to you when you scored 200. I mean, what are you gonna do? So it's just
you feel bad for the
he's
guy.
Had a bad draw, but he's look. Anytime you got Mahomes and Hill,
he is one
you're
of
fine.
These extreme. I mean, I guess everybody obviously has strengths and weaknesses, but his and this has been that way because when you have a Mahomes and Hill, you're like, man, those look
running
fantastic, and then you look
rough.
And you're like, Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, and then his flex.
That guy's still in
well,
the league.
So Mike Williams was a steal. So
yes.
I really like his team overall. I do think he should make a trade for a better running back if he could swing it. But apparently CMC was just available. But whatever. Let's see. We got Jackson at 3 for both y'all. So Staffel, I think we're pretty fair on. So I've got him the highest at 3. Stewart's got him at 5. And Mike, you got yourself at 6. So somewhere in that 4 range seems fair. Yeah, I mean, I think I like those top 6 teams there. And then you got the next tier. So there is someone that's an outlier here, which we'll get to at number 8. But number 7 is me. I've got myself at 5. Stewart's got me at 6. And Mike has me at 8, which I went from 6 to 8 when he was in the middle of... Yeah, I got Jonathan. Wait, no. Then I got. Oh, let's go. Let's move this.
It's
so
gotta be your. Ball.
I was laughing because I was like, I feel like I'm gonna get bumped down, which I knew I was, but it's fine. So we got me at 7. So here's the outlier, Lewis. We've got him ranked 8 cumulatively. I'm at 7. Stuart has him at 9, and Mike is probably the most correct, having him at 5. Lewis is undefeated. And he's got Josh Allen. He's got Nick Chubb.
DeAndre Hopkins. Jamar Chase.
Chase.
Dallas Goedert. Who?
Chase is the one that
he's the wild
I was wrong on so far. He's been a touchdown machine. And I was worried about the year off rust. And clearly it doesn't matter. So
I think there's an argument to be made that his roster is on par, if not better than Bryce. But...
That's fair, and I've got Bryce at 1 and Lewis at 7, so I'm way off here. I need to readjust, but that's okay.
He's also got Stafford on his bench. I mean, he has Allen, so he did the right thing by starting him, but
Lewis,
I think Allen had 48 and Stafford had 43.
So Lewis has benefited from a soft schedule. He played me when I scored 107 or whatever and won, so the undefeated comment doesn't really hold a whole lot of water. But
that applies to all the undefeated teams in our league.
Yes,
this is true.
That is for
this
that
is true
is for sure.
No, and you can only Stewart. You can only play who you play, right? You can't. We're not playing against everybody. I think
I have the most points against, don't I?
Well, David's tracking that in his other spreadsheet, which is how do you stack up against the rest of the league / top 6, bottom 6. So we'll plug these in and we'll kind of see how we stand in that regard. But, you know, it's a weekly game. You got to play who you're playing. And
oh, no, I'm third. So just
yeah, go ahead. Run it down. Know,
well, you got points against Jackson is leading that at 472. And then
I contributed to that.
Ryan is at 461, and I'm right behind Ryan at 458. So
wow, what senior's got to be next? You scored 200 on him.
Senior's at 452. Yeah, he's right behind me. And then you've got.
I guess I was just surprised to hear him behind them three.
You, Jonathan.
I have the easiest
351.
I've had the easiest schedule.
Yep, 351 is by far. Where is Lewis? Let's see what Lewis's was.
I had an average score week one and won with it. I had
385 is Lewis.
Horrible score week two and lost, and then I had a good score last week.
And Lewis still has all of his waiver wire money.
Yep, hasn't made a move. He's the only one. He's the last one to have made a move on the season. Right. But hey, when you're undefeated,
call him Captain Brown Javide.
Let's workshop that a little.
He's not a ginger, so wouldn't be Captain Ginger.
Let's workshop that a little bit. All right. So moving on, we've got Daniel at 9. So this would be the consolation bracket if the playoffs started today, based off our power rankings. Daniel at 9. I have him at 9. I think we all start to kind of fall in line after this one, but we still have another outlier here. So I've got him at 9. Stuart's got him at 10. Mike, you got him at 4. You really like Daniel. Is this the Alvin Kamara trade and his roster?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I was just looking at it again. You got Herbert at QB, which you got to feel good about. You got Kamara and Gibson. Oh, sorry, Herbert. Justin, Herbert. Kamara and Gibson at his RB1, RB2. Solid. DJ and Amari. Now, I guess you could make...
Wide receiver 2 is a little weak. And you could say DJ Moore is probably not your one.
Yeah. I mean, he's 9 on the year this year, but you're skeptical if that holds for correct. Sure. So I see that, but, you know, if performance...
Kittle's been underperforming, to be fair. Sure. So that's also a plus in his column.
Maybe I'm giving him too much credit based on names, you know, that haven't really performed this year, but it's been such a goofy year. I feel like, like we already talked about, at least before the podcast... The rosters that you look at and go, man, that's a good team. You
yep.
Go, they're 1-2 or yep. They're 0-3.
Yeah.
And then you got me and Lewis with pretty average rosters. They're not terrible, but they're not like blowing you out of the water.
I think one of David's favorite things to do is to go back, like in week 10, go back and look at these early season rankings and be like, wow, we were way off.
Yeah.
Way off. Or just well, all over the place.
I'm interested to see what this year ends up being. Because after, you know, was it last year or 2 years ago when we had the top 4 or 5 and that was our talk all year long?
2 years ago.
And it
was,
that was probably the clearest we've ever had of like that top tier with a decent amount of teams in it. And then.
If you weren't in those 4, it wasn't very fun because you're like, I don't have a shot.
This year, it's just been such a strange start, both by records and then. Just in the NFL, like a lot of the bigger guys have not put up the numbers. I mean, I kept Jonathan Taylor, and he's like running back 28.
Yeah. I think the cream will definitely rise to the top this year, and you know, those that want to be a part of that top tier with me.
I was like, here comes a Stewart self-compliment.
Stewart's talking about cream.
Something
and
about the cream
rising
at the top and the crop.
I do
rising
think cream. I think David's team is better than 10, too.
I do, too. I have him at 10, and I think that's probably the lowest I'll rank him. I think his team is better, but I think he's struggling right now. His quarterback situation is rough.
Yeah,
I've got Stafford and Hurts are out there as backups. I don't know why he doesn't make a play on either one of them. Maybe he's tried. I don't know.
He hadn't been knocking on my door.
I was trying to fish some information out of you. So I've got David at 10. Stewart's got him at 8. Mike has him at 9. And then the last two are consensus. Mike Searles is 11 across the board, and Joey is 12 across the board. I don't know if his pick changed that. Or his trade.
Heard it here first. On the podcast, Joey is going full on, started from the bottom.
Change
your name.
Do it before Daniel does.
Here I come.
Oh, man.
Yeah, every time I read your name, it just makes me think of the injury. So we need to
– yeah,
you should change that just to move on from old Dobbins. JK.
Speaking of moving on, let's move into Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
All right, Stuart. Do you want to kick us off with the first matchup?
I sure do. We've got one Bash Brothers versus Cupid Express.
That's Team Cupid Express.
Team Cupid Express.
He never removed the team.
Team Baseball Express.
He wanted everyone to know he has a true team.
Team Express.
Team Cupid Express. This is the battle of Fossil Creek. Is that what's the street address? Anyway, the battle of Fossil Creek.
That's what they call it. Yeah, yeah. The battle of Fossil Creek.
Yeah, someone's going to walk away with a fossil of the creek as the big winner this week. But this is a close matchup. I picked Jonathan.
I can't believe it.
The reason that I picked Jonathan is because they didn't have a great showing versus Dallas, but I do feel like Philadelphia will come back a little stronger on defense next week. I think that they will, Mahomes and Hill will have a tough time against those Eagles, and whenever Mahomes and Hill have a tough time, so usually goes the Team Cupid Express. So it's not so much that I love Jonathan's team as much as I'm not a huge fan of Cupid Express's team this week. Even though Mahomes is slated for about 30 points, there's potentially some rain. So you know how he handles those slick footballs.
Is that rain or is the cloud just leaking? I can't.
Oh, gosh. I don't know how he handles it.
We're going to get a lot of weather reports from Stuart in this segment. Just a heads up.
Well, just because, I mean, that is one of the
Wait
best...
till he references the castle.
I was about to say the castle.
No,
yes.
No one's playing in the... Oh, no. Justin Jefferson is in the castle this week. So,
Kyle Pitts is in the bounce house. The bouncing castle.
Who you got, Mike? Who you got, Mike?
I've got... Did I really?
You did.
Son of a gun.
You chose senior. You can change it.
Man.
If you change it, Stuart will change it on that spreadsheet.
Well,
if you want to keep it.
I won't, just because it's already a lot of similar picks.
Yep.
So it's a little more interesting. And
David will love you for it.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. But to your point on that Chiefs Eagles game is going to be huge, obviously, too, because John's got CEH, and you know, Cowboys were able to do basically whatever they wanted, but they seemed to run it at will as well. And if those defensive tackles for the Eagles, what is it, Cox and Hargrave, if they're mm-hmm. causing havoc with Mahomes, because that new offensive line is seemingly taking time to gel. You know, they might be throwing a lot more of those running back screens in the flat, or maybe pitching it outside. So, because Pollard and Zeke seem to have, you know, they look like they were getting 8 to 10 yards
yep.
a carry most of the time. So, that's going to be probably the deciding factor, honestly, is how much of the offense runs through Hilaire and how much of it runs through Mahomes.
Yeah, and to be quite honest, I thought this was going to be a clean sweep for senior. And so I was going to go contrarian and pick myself. So I did pick myself. But I do see that there is opportunity for Mahomes. The Chargers showed the blueprint last week on how to beat the Chiefs more so than I do think the Eagles are better than what they were last week. I think that the Cowboys just snowballed them. But I think the only way you can slow down the Chiefs is if you play a shell defense and make them run it, which benefits me, and to your point, mm-hmm. with Clyde Edwards. I'm worried about a couple of my matchups and some injury concerns with Henderson and Elijah Mitchell, but if they play, I'll feel much better. If I'm having to pivot, it's going to get ugly real quick, and I think it's going to be senior with a runaway. So not confident about it, but I'm picking myself. And I'll just live with the consequences. It's fine. I don't even know where we're at. David has the record on where we stand with the picks of the week. So,
yeah, guys, it's
oh, this is David's joining us. Okay, go ahead.
We're here. Go on. Live.
We're doing the show. All right. Well, let's move on. We've got another matchup that we want to cover. That would be one lasso special against Calvin Harris. I don't get the reference. Is Calvin Harris like a dude?
Isn't he a DJ? I think he's a DJ.
He's a DJ? Okay.
I thought he was doing it because of...
Well, it's the players' last names that he traded for.
Yeah.
Or players' names that he traded for, Calvin Ridley and Damian Harris, but...
Yeah, he's a DJ. He's done. He's like one of these that does.
Oh, he's a DJ.
He does
DJ
the song
Moore.
Like gets a fame. What is it, Marshmello or Zed
so
or some of these guys?
I thought it was one of the famous preachers during the revival of the United States,
John Calvin.
Yeah, something with Cass. I was like, what is he doing with that? So clearly, I don't know.
Like. Charles Spurgeon is my team name.
Billy Graham. All right. So he's got, we got Lasso special with old Justin Herbert. And we talked about this. I mean, we really like Daniel's team. I continue to not like Bryce's team, even though I ranked him really high because I think they've overperformed. Kirk Cousins is the one that has stuck out in my mind that I've been like, wow, I can't believe he's playing as good as he has. He is QB6 on the year.
Yes.
Which is good for me because I have Justin Jefferson, but I really thought that I had the better quarterback in Tannehill, and now it's looking like Cousins was the way to go.
Yeah, his lowest score on the year is 29, and he's played Cincy, Arizona, and Seattle. I mean, I don't know how amazing their defenses are this year, but they're not known as...
You wouldn't have thought wouldn't have thought you could just throw on them all day, especially with the Vikings, that you're going to run it with Dalvin Cook. So that's been a surprise, but the surprise stops here. This is Daniel all day, and it's a triple play.
Triple play.
Oh, hello. Okay, yes. Nothing Miguel. To add there other than I also triple played this matchup for Daniel.
Triple play.
Stuart?
Assuming Daniel doesn't make any big trades between now and the start of the week, I too have Daniel. Not a triple play.
Not a triple play.
Regular
but,
play.
But
you
I
know
do
what?
I
yeah.
do think that this
yeah, I agree.
It's gonna be a landslide.
And I saw my reflection in the snow covered hills. Well, the
Landslide. Yes, that was a. We all
Harmony.
Have really good voices. Let's
Harmony.
Try that again.
No, let's not.
What do they call that? Is it a?
It's called
round,
a trio.
A round when you.
No, that's called
no,
singing.
No, that's golf.
Row.
Landslide. Okay.
Well, okay. Yeah, I'll move it. I'll move it into the next one
okay,
because I don't
sure.
want. I don't want you to talk about yourself too early, Stuart. No. But we do have one.
He does love talking about himself.
Yeah, I know. That's why we got to save time at the end. Remember
the tight ends.
Denzel Washington just staring at me every time I look at your team.
Yes.
Against the Najee Mahal. I feel like we've seen this recently. I can't remember where, but I feel like we've seen this matchup.
Mm-hmm.
It only goes one way so far. This has been a pretty one-sided affair.
Yeah.
This just doesn't look like it's going to be close to me.
If I wouldn't have played Sideshow Bob last week, I probably would have won.
Well, I think if we go back to the tape and we go back to when David and I cautioned you on Robbie Anderson, you should have listened to
this. I didn't
this.
Know what to do. I didn't – because at the time I still had Cooper, and I was thinking, okay, we've got Cooper and who is hurt with his – mm-hmm. You know, someone nicked his rib.
Riblets.
And giblets. And then Deontay Johnson, who ended up being out, right? Y'all were questioning why I had both of those guys on my bench. And I was like, I don't know if either of them are going to play. And then I didn't have Evans and Thielen. So I'm like, okay, I guess I've got to roll out Robbie Anderson.
One Robbie.
In Anderson. Hindsight, I should have played Marvin Jones. I should have put Marvin Jones in there, but I thought there was the potential that neither of them would play.
Here's the best thing.
Deontay Johnson or Cooper.
A lot of times you play your opponent and you go, man, I wish I would have started this other guy. I would have probably beat him. You get to find out. You're playing him back-to-back weeks. It's almost like you played him last week, this week, and next week. Like, you're just going to continue to play him. And I think this one's not going to be close. It's not going to be as close as the projection says.
It's not going to be close.
0.1.
I agree.
And I've got Ryan beating you handily. My hand is small.
Yours, what a joke.
They are my own. They're not yours, they are my own. My hands. Yeah.
This is not going to be even remotely close.
It's Naj Mahal.
It's not going to be remotely close. This, can I go out? I'm going to go out and say it. This, I hope you're ready. I don't know which way
you're going.
This is going to be a tsunami.
Boy, I'm glad I cut that drop down.
Which is a 1,000-point win, right? A win by 1,000.
I think it's 30?
30, yeah.
No, 50. Landslide is 30.
Yeah.
We just tsunami skipped over 40 and went straight to 50.
I've already had a tsunami once this year. This is going to be another one. This is also my triple play. Wrong drop.
Oh, sorry. Well, you said a tsunami again.
I said triple play. My triple play. This is not going to be close. Kyler Murray's going to go off Derrick Henry against the Jets. Give me a break. The Jets are a high school team. Are you kidding me? This is going to be a blowout win for me.
This is just going to be blasting in your car all
day.
And
what I love is now that Ryan has McCaffrey, just to watch Chuba Hubbard run all over the Naj Mahal.
Yeah. Little Marky Mark. Yes. You're going to be celebrating all over Ryan.
Good vibrations.
Oh, yeah. Some good vibes.
Okay, I'm guessing. You picked Ryan, but obviously, yeah. Mike, I'm sure you picked me, right?
Who made a more compelling argument there? That's what I want to know.
Who has the better music?
That's really, yeah.
Oh, man.
Mine was handily.
The music was on point. So you picked. Wait, you picked Ryan.
I picked Ryan.
Handily,
yeah, there's a 60.
Sue picked.
There's a 60-point discrepancy here. And yet, Sleeper thinks it'll be 0.1. So three opinions in the room if you count Sleeper.
Pretty good that both of you will be wrong. I think at least as far as.
Do you think it's going to be the ace be
margin
close?
Of victory.
Oh, okay.
I think yeah.
I mean, how can we both be wrong?
Somebody's got to win.
It's going to be a tie.
Well, that
how close?
That's happened to me. Thank you.
How close do you think it'll be?
Maybe close enough for a chocolate starfish?
Nailed it.
Yes. Set him up well.
Oh, man.
We're glad Mike actually listened to
Jonathan looked at me with eyes that said, this is the part.
I had chocolate starfish in my eyes.
Say it.
He was squinting.
So who do you have?
I've got stew.
Yes.
And a starfish.
All right.
Keep on rolling, baby. You know what time it is.
Is Fred Durst
what time
alive?
Is it? How long have we been doing this?
I can't. Here's the problem with the way that we record this. I can't tell until. I think
it's at least 3 hours.
No. It's 10:15. We start around.
Yeah.
An hour and a half. We're right on time.
Yeah.
We are right on time. Okay. Let's move to the next matchup.
What are we doing?
We got David versus Lewis. That would be the scary. I would be remiss if I didn't say his team name. The scary terrorists.
Talking about the wrists.
The terrorists versus Wild Thang. We've got one team that's undefeated, and one team that's 1-2. You might be surprised to find out that the terrorists only have one win, and Wild Thang's undefeated.
I thought you were going to say, we have one team that's undefeated and one team that's good.
And one team that's defeated. Yeah, no, that's the way I could have taken it.
No,
look, we all feel the same way about this, which is funny because none of us talked about this. Lewis is undefeated, and yet all three of us are taking David because we believe his team is better. We'll see. What's the do you have the points for, points against on the season again? Where what's the difference on David and
between
Lewis?
Those two?
Yes.
So David and the scary Terry Riss are at 437.22 points for. Lewis is at 423. So he's only
comparable.
Off by about 14, but David has 452 against and Lewis has 385. So
yeah,
that's the big swing.
Yep. So
comparable
one's undefeated
teams thus far on the year. Yeah.
They're both probably closer to 2-1 or 1-2 if they swap schedules, right?
Sure.
So undefeated is it's a little premature to call it that, but that's what he is. Undefeated. Anything to add on that matchup?
No.
Josh Allen, I think, will be maybe that's low-hanging fruit, but I was kind of surprised to see that he only had 19 and 20 points in week 1 and 2, because after he had that huge game this past week of almost 50 points, I was thinking he'd been lighting it up all season. But, 19 and 20 are solid, but I definitely think Lewis is in trouble if he doesn't get close to 30 out of Josh Allen at least.
Yeah, I think that's when I played him. He did that to me.
I think the only thing I would ask is that you not talk about Josh Allen's fruit.
What?
The low-hanging stuff. All right.
That's really
moving on.
Come on. Don't make comments like that.
All you kids out there.
Sorry that you're sorry.
Sorry about
Savannah
your wife.
Savannah and Molly and
all right.
Scarlett.
Let's not dox them.
They don't
okay?
listen to this podcast on purpose, mind you. It just pops up on their radio.
What?
So when you're driving,
force your kids to listen to this.
No, we share the same Spotify, and so for whatever reason, if I'm listening to it and then they turn on and get in the car, it'll start playing for them.
Oh, in Allison's car.
Allison's car.
Not Savannah's car.
She doesn't drive yet.
She's not legally.
Yeah.
She does go get the milk and bread.
She heads out to Kerrville every now and again.
You guys live in
Bernie.
It's small town.
We take family trips to Kerrville quite often. All right.
This is the matchup of the week coming up.
We got Jackson
versus one Mike Staffel. So this matchup, I'm excited about. I think that this will be one of the closer matchups of the week. Do you see these TDs? I have really taken care of business and laying it on Jackson and his team. Dalvin Cook is questionable this week. That didn't really seem to matter because what did Madison have last week? 25.7. So
that didn't matter either, by the way, for the record.
That didn't matter. Yeah, he lost anyway.
Yeah.
You lose. You lose. So I think it's going to be a great matchup. I think I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say I know you've been really disappointed with Jonathan Taylor, but I think Jonathan Taylor will have a big game against Miami this Sunday. Even though there's some wind, I don't think that'll affect Jonathan Taylor too much. So give me, do you see these TDs over Wingardium Joey Bosa?
I'll take the magic of Hogwarts. I think Jackson's got some spells up his sleeves, and I think that some of his questionable players will all show up and play well. Give me Jackson for the win. Staff will break the tie.
Yeah, so...
Be humble.
Oh, I will not.
Oh, he will not be humble.
I refuse. Basically, this came down to don't know if I'll be on the podcast again, and it would seem like a shame not to pick myself in the one opportunity that I have. But
if we're being honest, you're doing a much better job than David.
Yeah,
does, so.
Yeah. We'll post a poll and see who's a better podcast host.
I won't claim to be a commissioner if I ever become apparently, a more regular.
No. Apparently, if you get behind a mic, you're a commissioner. Yeah. It's automatic.
Or if you are a mic.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think it's a toss-up. I like Jackson's team, but I feel like it's going to be close enough. And I'm really banking on Brady going nuts on the Patriots because I think he's definitely out to...
He's not a guy that holds grudges, though, so he should be pretty chill.
I thought conversation for another time, but I thought the comments that came out this past week or two about Brady and Belichick, and it basically sounded like the whole Tim Duncan dynamic, but Brady finally got tired of it, you know, treating him the same as the rookie. And Tim was always like, that's fine, I'll be the example, you know, everyone will fall in line.
Yeah.
And I mean, granted, Tim didn't play till he was 45, so maybe that was it.
Yeah, once you're 40s, you're like, leave me alone.
Hey, I'm not a kid.
Yeah, I'm a freak of nature, Belichick. Leave me alone.
It is a conversation for another time, but I do want to say it's a lot easier for a power forward / center be able to fall back into that role. I think a point guard would struggle with that more, like a quarterback would. So I don't know. But Tim Duncan is a special breed of human being, and I think that's really what the moral of that story is, because if Tom Brady can't handle it after a while...
And I'm not even saying he's wrong. I just thought it was an interesting, you know, because being Spurs fans, obviously, how much that's something that was always talked about and was a big part of, I think, the Spurs and the Patriots' success. And
you got to have that foundational star be there for 15-plus years.
I see Pop being more diplomatic than Belichick, though, as well. I think behind closed doors, Pop would probably stroke Duncan's ego more than Belichick would ever stroke Brady's. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For sure.
Anyway.
All right. Last matchup. We've got father versus son. Mike Searles versus Joey.
Toilet bowl.
Joey's got himself a pair of new starting running backs.
Oh, yeah. This is power rankings 11 versus 12.
I didn't know why you said that, but yeah. This is what you call the toilet bowl. And yes, this is going to be an uncomfortably long flush.
These teams
are uncomfortably bad right now in a bad way. I don't think my dad's team is that bad, to be fair.
I agree with that.
But, again.
Did anyone watch the Bills at all last week? Emmanuel Sanders looked amazing.
Manu.
That's just insane that guy's still playing football.
Kareem Hunt's back in the lineup. That's good.
But Drake is also.
Yeah, I don't. I think he falls to the projections. He leans on those a lot, which is fine if you don't, you know.
I personally would roll out Gronk over Drake because I think Gronk and Brady will try to connect for a couple.
Yeah, the 1-2.
Yeah.
1-2 combo.
Hey, if you're listening to this on your many, many trips out to Kerrville this week.
But listen to
hey,
it before,
Mike, remember
listen to
the tight ends.
Before you've
remember
gotten
the tight
to Kerrville.
Ends.
If you're in Kerrville,
it is too late.
You're too far gone. There's just no coming back.
What was I going to do with my team?
If you get to Kerrville, just remember you should have done something before you got there. So, yeah, I agree. Gronk is the play. I think if he makes that move, regardless, I think I'll go with him over my brother. But Chris Carson could tip it back in Joey's favor for this week. He no longer has CMC, as we broke on the podcast. But I'll still take my dad. I think he's performed, but he's gotten a little unlucky, and he'll right the ship this week.
Yeah, I also pick Mike Searles, and part of that is Joey's little emoticon thing here is a taco that's flexing, and so
do you know how to turn that off? It's bothering me that you don't know how to do that.
I don't know how to
that's how mine looks now, so you can go to your settings,
please. I hate watching those things.
You can go to your settings. You can go to your settings and turn off mascots. It's like two buttons.
Yes, please.
I'll
let's
show you
let's
right
walk
after
us
this.
Through this.
Yes.
Yeah, I got Mike Searles. David got some flack for this last week with the last matchup when he said, I don't really care about this, but I don't really
care.
That
matchup could be the star of a show called Matchups I Don't Care About.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm still really interested in Kelsey. I'm also interested in Waller. I need a tight end. So both of these teams aren't going anywhere. So I'm obviously on the up and up. I would love for you guys to work
You clearly remember the tight ends.
I remember the tight ends, you and do. That's why I don't have a good one.
Logan Thomas is pretty good. He's not, he's in that tier.
Yeah, LT. Tier. LT.
All right. Mike, who you got?
I got Mike as well. I'm with you guys. I think, you know, he's definitely better than his 0-3 record shows. I mean, I think he's got a pretty solid team, and I think he takes this one.
That does it. We finished the show. Any final words as we leave this amazing show?
Well, as George Kittle would often say, the reverse Samson's coming at you.